That's our word of the day. In fact, when you look throughout Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, you see really journeys in persistence. Now, what we mean by persistence, let's all be clear about that, is it's the idea of being able to go without any disruption. It's the idea of long suffering. It's stamina. It's the ability to endure. It's also to never lose focus on whatever that goal is. We have persistence in all areas of our life. But when it comes to our Christian faith, really, you can't have a walk with the Lord without the idea of persistence. Because let's be honest, the walk with the Lord is up and down. Our faith journey is full of what seems to be pauses in our walks where we're forced to kind of take a step back and look at what's going on, and sometimes it requires us just to wait on what God wants to do. Persistence is part of it. And in our story this morning, I think for me, there's been many times, and we're in Luke chapter 18, we're looking at the parable of prayer. Jesus has been speaking to the Pharisees and others gathered, and it's all part of a conversation about when the Messiah would come. That is a question that's asked of Jesus back in chapter 17 of Luke. And Jesus, in his response, includes this idea of persistent prayer. In fact, he tells us, I'm telling you this story so that you understand persistence in prayer. Now, pause for a moment. If we're going to talk about persistence, we're going to look at this in the idea that having persistent faith, that is, walking persistently in our walk with the Lord. But a large part of that has to be prayer. Amen? Because prayer is conversation with God. It's not just us telling God what he needs to know. By the way, he already knows all of those things. But it's us learning to listen to him and what he wants to tell us. Prayer is a two-way conversation. Now, I'm here to tell you, I don't know that I can stand before you this morning and tell you that I've heard God's voice audibly answer a prayer. But no doubt he does speak to me and he speaks to us. Sometimes in very creative ways, sometimes in very simple ways. But in the distractions of life, we sometimes lose those answers because we're focused on something that now is serving as a distraction. Or we walk into it in that, God, I want you to answer this way. If you don't answer this way, then I don't believe you're answering at all. We're not being persistent in that. We're not opening up and allowing God to take control and lead our faith journey. And in this story this morning, I'll tell you, I've often struggled with this parable because I've put the focus on the ungodly or unjust judge and not on the woman. And after you begin to sort of take a step back and look at the parable and put the focus on the woman and understanding her journey as an example in persistence, then we begin to overlay that in our faith journey. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us. Don't lose sight of the fact that I am always at work, whether you see it or not. Let's pray and we'll read this passage together. Father, thank you this morning for just the power in this parable, and it's one probably we're all familiar with. We might have even heard sermons on it at different times or studied it ourselves in a Bible study or Sunday school. So there's nothing new here this morning, I don't believe. But what it is a reminder of really the mandate in all of our faith journey, those who are believers, is that we need to be focused on you and unwavering and be persistent in that, including prayer, including having faith that you're big enough and powerful enough, and no matter what we may be facing, you are still sovereign and on your throne. There's not a single thing in our life that is bigger than you. Now, Father, for the lost person this morning, I guess this is a strange approach for them, but my prayer for them is, in whatever they're trying to be persistent in, that you would convict them that that's always going to end in an empty place. No matter how we pursue happiness or fulfillment or the sense of worth, or even healing, I believe outside of a walk with you will always end empty. So my prayer for that lost person, whether they're sitting right now in our auditorium or listening to this or watching this on our live stream, that the power of conviction would come into their life and help them to see the end of that empty journey they may be going through to accomplish whatever they think they need to accomplish, but they're doing it outside of you. And my prayer this morning is that they hear clearly the call to a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that they can begin a new journey as a new person pursuing that healing or that worth or whatever it is that is the weakness in their life that the enemy tends to attack. Whatever that is, that you would help them to find that resolution through Jesus. Now, God, for the rest of us, I pray, bless us as we look at this. Help us to look deep inside of our own lives and asking the question, are we being persistent in different areas of our faith journey? Bless us as we read your word. I pray all of these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. We'll start right here, verse 1, chapter 18 of Luke. I'm reading out of New American Standard today. And this story goes this way. Now he was telling them a parable to show them at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Now this is Jesus, okay? We're about to switch into verse 2. And if you have a Bible like mine, it's going to turn to red. That tells you that Jesus now is speaking here. He goes on to say this, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. Then there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. Now you can understand, if you put your focus on the judge as some metaphor for God, you lose the sense, I think, of what's trying to be communicated here. The focus is on the woman. Now, we learned something about God here, and we'll get to that. That's kind of the focus of our sermon. But the focus is on the woman was unwavering. She was not distracted. She kept focused. And it goes on to tell us that verse 4 is where we left off. For a while, he was unwilling. But afterward, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. Now, we've lost something here, but it's a weird statement. Wears me out in Greek means a black eye. Now, I'm not really sure why that fits into this story. I don't think that's what was happening to him, but he was pained by this woman's persistence. Now, pause here. Let me warn you again. God is not this judge. You understand that? God does not respond because we bother him. God's not going to finally give in to what your request is because he's feeling like you're abusing him and he's going to get a black eye if he doesn't answer you. You can understand how that could be bad, bad theology, bad viewpoint, because that sort of conjure up a whole misinterpretation of some people's faith, that they somehow have power over God to manipulate and control him. That is not why God answers your prayer. The persistence has to be understood in that unwavering we are keeping our eyes on Jesus. Doesn't matter whether he answers today, tomorrow, or 20 years from now, we're going to remain focused on him, unwavering, never losing our resolve, making sure that we're steadfast and we're praying for God's power to give us stamina. Amen? So it's one of these things that I think you could go off the reservation here real quickly and start creating a false teaching out of misinterpreting this parable. Well, he goes on, and we pick up then in verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, Jesus gives his commentary. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Now there's a lot going on here. What Jesus is essentially saying is God is not the unrighteous judge, right? We've already said that. And what he is saying is God is not going to answer based on his frustration with you or the fact that you've worn him down. That's what Jesus is settling. But it's interesting, in the last statement of verse 8, he brings it back to the bigger discussion. And that was when the Messiah was coming. And Jesus had already answered that, in that it's among you. You're in its midst. Well, that freaked out the Pharisees, and what led him out of chapter 17 to come into chapter 18 and begin talking about persistence. So that last statement is a challenge in the bigger scope of our conversation, that we're not covering all of it today. But will we be persistent in the end? When Jesus comes back, now we understand that he's physically here, but there's the idea that he's coming again. Well, not an idea, it's a certainty. He's coming again, the second coming of Christ. And the question is more of a metaphor. It's a question to pause us to ponder, is when Christ comes, will he still find the persistent faithful? And that's what we want to sort of jump off into this morning and spend some time unpacking and unfolding. And I have three challenges for us to come to terms with as we think about having faith through persistence, right? Number one is this, and we see this as the idea of this passage or this parable. Number one is this: there's a challenge of faithful prayer. Now we've already kind of stepped into this, and it was a segue intentionally, and we've talked about this often. We've already established this morning. Let me go back and just review this. Prayer is conversation with God. I would even go so far to say this. It's like an oxygen sort of world for a human. Prayer is required for the believer. You have to. Just like we can't live very long, maybe 3 minutes, probably in the shape I am, probably more like 90 seconds without air. The truth is, as a believer, if we don't have consistent, and let me add our word in this morning, persistent and consistent prayer, then it's like losing oxygen. We're holding our breath. And we begin to struggle and suffer. And just like when you can't get enough air, by the way, I'll insert this. This is a real life scenario. Leanne and I have decided to go back trying to be healthy. You know how that goes. So we have a treadmill that was given to us in our den now. It has collected a lot of dust in the time that it's been there, I'll be honest. But the last few weeks I have started, like I should be doing this, running in the morning on my treadmill. Well, I've realized how bad out of shape I am. You might not know this. I ran track in middle school and high school. Okay, well, that was the other days. These are the current days. But after about 90 seconds, man, I'm sucking so much oxygen. And I'm just trying to do 10 minutes. That's all. And I'm having a hard time doing that. I can't imagine if I put one of the, you know these things, these restrictor masks that people put on to cause less oxygen to come in. I can't in my wildest dreams know why anybody would want to do that, but they're doing that. And there's no way that that's all I think about when I'm running is I see these commercials with these guys doing this, and I'm thinking, there's no way I'm never getting to that point. If I can just survive 10 minutes. And let's be honest, it's not running. I'm embellishing. It's a slow jog, probably arguably a fast walk, to be honest with you, okay? And so I'm just sucking oxygen. If that got cut off, I'm down. That's it. I'm off. I'm on the floor gasping for life. That's exactly what happens when we as believers try to go it without prayer. And your treadmill may be your doctor's appointment tomorrow. Your treadmill for you may be a decision that has to be made this week. And you're trying to make that decision and trying to get through it. If I can just get through with my own power in the next 10 minutes, you're not utilizing the gift that God has given you in prayer. I mean, he's right there. And so as we're spending time trying to solve this, we have the master of the universe that's able to walk alongside of us. He's already doing that if we're a believer. And now we can begin to tap in to his guidance and his power and more than anything else, just his assurance, that peace that goes way beyond our ability to understand. Listen, there's a challenge with faithful prayer. It's praying not with the end result in mind. It's praying openly, letting God do whatever he wants to do. And having the trust and the faith in him that he's going to give me what I need as I journey along to get me to where he wants me to be. Faithful prayer is an essential part of this persistence. It's our channel of conversation. That's how God encourages us. That's how we begin to seek the power of God. I believe that. And this is not a prayer. Make sure we understand this. This is not a prayer where we're stopping and going into our prayer closets and turning on the lights or off the lights, whatever you do, and getting on our knees and praying. That's not what I mean here. I mean prayer of desperation. I mean prayer of constant conversation. Praying just constantly. You're walking into that doctor's office. You're walking into that moment of having to make that decision, and you're in a state of prayer. You don't have time to get on your knees and formalize this. You're just talking to your heavenly Father, who you already know is standing beside you. And you're just letting him, God, give me strength here. Help me not to do something stupid. Help me to see what I need to see here. Give me the ability to love this person, even though I want to hate them. Help me to be able to trust you and what you are about to do through this. And it's just constant. And just being able to have that ongoing conversation with him as you journey through whatever those treadmills are in your life. Number two is this. Not only is there a challenge in the faithful prayer part of persistence, but there's also a challenge, listen to this, in the enduring patience of it. Listen, persistence, we've already established, prayer has to be part of that. Number two is there has to be this idea of patience. Now, let me rephrase this. And I've said this this way before, and to be honest, this probably is not really theologically correct. What I have said before and what many of us sometimes think is, well, we just need to have patience with God. Listen, God doesn't need us to be patient with him, right? He just needs us to trust him. We really need to be patient with ourselves, amen? And what that means is that we've got to quit following all of these rabbit holes and these alternatives, all because we're losing patience with ourselves and waiting for God to do what we know eventually he will do. And this is the most vulnerable time for a believer, is when we're looking for something from God, and when we're not feeling like we're getting it, we now begin to get distracted, and we start chasing things. That's when the enemy attacks. That's when the enemy finds it easiest to distract you. And every single one of us sitting in here have done that. We have. Lord, I prayed. You know, I did what he said. You know, the treadmill of my life this morning, I got up there and I'm sucking oxygen. I'm praying hard, but I didn't get anything in return. So now I'm going to go to plan B, God. And you know, when I say we do stupid things, that's a stupid thing right there. Is when we start trying to fix it ourselves or resolve it ourselves instead of waiting. Don't you think that God, who created everything in this world, you included, can figure out how to fix things and do things as you want? Part of the persistence just might be you getting in a place to where you're now so desperate that you're longing for any sign from him. Otherwise, you walk in with this preconceived idea of, God, I want you to answer it this way. And I mean, going back to prayer, we all have made this mistake, helping God figure out how to solve our problem. Oftentimes, you watch this, your prayers are centered around what you want God to do. You know, Lord, I'd really like for you to answer this and resolve this, and here's my advice for you. I think you should do it this way. And then we walk through that and start looking for the response or the answer from God through that lens. And it just may be God's doing it some other way, but because we're looking at it from this direction, we've missed it all. And so we have to understand there's patience, but it's enduring, right? But it's also patience with our inability sometimes to see, understand, or have the faith and trust that it requires for us to get through this. Listen, as I told you, the Bible's full of stories of persistence. That's it. And in every one of those stories, God always makes us stronger through them. He does. And we have the promise that God will never throw anything at us beyond what we can handle. Let's change that. Beyond what he can handle through us. But oftentimes, the journey of faith is full of ups and downs. Some of it's because we live in a fallen world and bad things happen and things that we didn't expect or even are our fault happen. And then there are other things that happen because we're stupid and we do dumb things and we make mistakes and say things to certain people that we know we shouldn't have. And so in that midst, God has the ability to come in and resolve all of those things and allow us to continue to do what he wants. But we have to have the endurance and this idea of patience with ourselves when we make those stupid mistakes and when we do those stupid things, understanding that God loves us bigger than those mistakes and will walk through helping us figure those out. We have to understand these challenges and the idea of the challenge of faithful prayer, the challenge of enduring patience. Number three is this, the challenge of absolute hope. Now, I put the word absolute there because for me, it's the maximum. That's what I mean by that. Hope, defined by Scripture, is not the, we've talked about this the other week, it's not that I hope this happens. It may happen or it may not happen. When we have hope in the things of God, change that. The actual biblical term is interpreted to mean certainty. I've said this before. This is not new for most of you. But when we say we're hoping in things of God, or we're hoping that God does this, or we're placing our absolute hope in God's power, what we're really saying from a biblical standpoint is, I have the certainty that God's going to do this. I have the certainty that my trust is in the power of God. He is sovereign and on his throne. And nothing will ever overpower that or change that. So it's the absolute, let's change this, it's the absolute certainty of the existence of God. The absolute certainty that God will resolve the things that I'm facing. The absolute certainty that God will show up and do exactly what he needs to do at the exact moment. The absolute certainty that God is working behind the scenes even when I don't understand it or I don't see it. The absolute certainty knowing that God understands everything that I'm going through and has a plan in spite of the disruptions and roadblocks and potholes and distractions that I bring in or someone else brings into my life. The absolute certainty that one day all of this will end, and those of us who know Jesus, there's the absolute certainty that we'll be at peace forever and ever and eternity with our Heavenly Father. See what I mean? The absolute certainty of something. And so when we talk about this absolute hope, if we're going to be persistent, then we need to have that kind of certainty. There needs to be no wavering in that. In fact, if prayer is one of the more important aspects of our ability to be persistent in our walk with the Lord, then absolute hope would probably be a close second or maybe an even first with it, to be honest. Because first, if you're not praying, okay, you're in trouble. We've already said that. If you don't have the confidence in God's absolute certainty that he'll do what he does, then how do you proceed as a believer? Now you're beginning to doubt the existence of God or the power of God or his ability to heal these things. And we all face our doubts. I get that. But as we walk through these things, what we're asking is that God does these things and then reveal himself in the midst of that. Maybe for others to see, but maybe more importantly for you to be able to have that certainty that God is at work. And listen, I get it. I'm privileged to have sort of a viewpoint as your shepherd to see almost every single week that happen, where God answers a prayer, resolves a problem, comes in and miraculously does things. And it almost gets to the point now to where, and I'll admit this, sometimes in the hustle and bustle of pastoring a church like this, you lose the awe of that. It just becomes routine. And I've been challenging myself and those who gather on Wednesday nights for a while now that we don't lose that awe, that we still take a moment and stand amazed at how God persistently commits to us as we sometimes don't persistently commit to him. And in spite of that, he still shows up. If you don't believe he's doing that, then I invite you to come on Wednesday nights. Now, we're not meeting this Wednesday night because of VBS. But Wednesday nights, I'm telling you, All that is an encouragement time for us to be reminded of how great God is and how all, I'm going to say it this way, exact in his answers to prayers. And you want to know how to persistently pray, come Wednesday nights. Because we've been persistently praying for things on those lists for years. And some of them have not been answered, but others have. So we've learned through that experience that God will answer in his time. We have to have that absolute hope is what we're saying, that God will show up and do what he wants to do at the perfect moment. It always is. And that he's bigger and stronger and he's sovereign and on his throne. We've got to have that. Couple that with the faithful prayer and then the patience with the way the world reacts to things and the way sometimes our nature wants us to react. And now we begin to kind of work through and understand three of the challenges and having persistence in our faith. In closing, listen to this. A couple of things I want to remind you of as we do this. Persistence, okay, is not by our power, but by the Holy Spirit. I hope we've established that this morning. It is not anything in you. When you're asking God to give you persistence, that may include the idea of prayer and the idea of patience with yourself and those around you and the certainty of hope. What you're asking for is him to come in and give you the power to have that. You'll never on your own come up with the ability to do these things, right? They're gifts that God gives us, and we need to take hold of them. Another thing to think of as we close is that persistence is a mark of genuine faith. I do believe that. And let me kind of explain what I mean by that. When we look at some of the great saints that have come through this church, and some of you who are sitting here are in that category, what we learn from them, one of the great lessons, is their persistence through their life. The many years that they've gone through, the ups and downs, and in some cases, the tragedy that has hit their family or hit this community or hit our nation. But yet, they've remained persistent. We often will see persistence is a mark of great faith. And so that's why we're aspiring for it. That's why we're trying to be more persistent in our faith walk, never ending, always seeking God's power to give us the ability to move through it. That's a mark of genuine faith. Those who cannot do that consistently now need to begin to ask the question, do I really know him? Now, I think you could probably know him and still sometimes stumble. Don't get me wrong. But those who have no desire and persistence or pursuing the things of God or have no natural desire to allow God's power to enter into them, you now begin to ask the question, have I really been saved? Have I really received Christ in my life? Or have I been an imposter in this big sort of show of church? Now, we can't answer that for you. That's a question you got to ask yourself. Then finally is this as we move to our final prayer. And I said this already, but I just want to make sure. You might think of these final things as just sort of warnings, right? The final one is this. Persistence is not manipulation. I want to go back to that. We're never going to con God. We're never going to do what the widow did in this parable and wear God down. You know, I think there are some, the Pharisees in the New Testament would pray, and they had their prayer sashes and the what I used to call the notches on their belt of the number of times they prayed, and they would go out in public and rip their gowns off and pray as a show of their persistence. But yet inside, they weren't really trusting God. They were wanting people to see the righteousness on the outside, but wanted to hide the unrighteousness in their heart. Listen, when we begin to think about this idea of manipulation, we're never doing these things for show. And if somebody is exercising persistence in faith and drawing the attention to themselves and not to God, then there's a real question mark in my mind about what's going on. That goes not just for an individual believer. That goes for a church, an organization, a pastor, a Christian movement. Those are all sort of warning signs that we need to be aware of, that if we're putting the attention on a person or on a particular situation and not on God's power to do what he wants to do, that's not of God, in my opinion. That's of something else. And so it's not manipulation. It's not that we're going to somehow connive God to do what he wasn't going to do until we sat there and prayed faithfully every single day. That's not how that works. God was going to answer it. The prayer, let's go back to this. Prayer is a conversation with God. But prayer also is a way for God to show us really what's going on in our life. It's a way for us to taste of his greatness. It's a moment to be able to spend time in his presence. It's to feel that presence. And so out of that, it's not our power, it's God's power. And so prayer, those who are on their knees praying, figuratively, then those are the people who tend to understand God the greatest, right? Why is that? Because they've spent time in his presence. I mean, it's just like any other relationship. I mean, I know some of you really well. Some of you I don't know that well. But to get to know me, we have to spend time together. We have to live life together a little bit. And we now begin to have those conversations. I mean, if I went with you, I've said this before, but let's turn it around. If you were to come with me tomorrow and walk through my day, we're going to have an exciting day tomorrow, by the way. Lots going on. But if you were to do that and we never had a conversation, we would not build or maximize our relationship, would we? You'd just be following me around. You'd just be watching. That's not the way God wants it to be. He wants us to be in a conversation with him. I go back to say this, and I think it's the only way that in my mind this morning I can accurately describe it. It's prayer of desperation. It's not that you're freaking out on the cliff about to jump off, but it's a prayer of, God, I need you. I need you in this moment. There's nowhere else I can go. I'm at the end of every other bridge, avenue, doorway. I am right here, and I desperately am praying for you to come in and resolve this or help me. Or just, man, I don't need you, God, to answer at all right now. Just give me just a moment of just confidence that you're here. And if you'll do that, I promise you, God will show you those things in the process. I call those mile markers. He will give you the mile markers on sometimes the longer journeys he's taking you on. And it's a matter of just pleading him and spending that time with him. But it's never about manipulation. It's never about conning him. It's never about wearing him down. God doesn't answer prayer based on the number of times you ask for it. Okay? He answers it because he's ready to answer it. But in the meantime, our conversation with him is letting his presence pour into our lives to give us the ability to be persistent. So as we walk away from this, I think we need to establish consistency in our walk with him. That includes all of the things that we've talked about this morning. I also think sort of an ending thing is this idea, we need to trust God's timing. Because that's what this is. Persistence is all about waiting on God to do something and making sure that we're focused on him in spite of what we don't have as an answer. But it's about waiting and learning and growing through his timing. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. I mean, there are probably a million things that we could extract from this passage. It's a great parable. It's one that was personally taught by Jesus some 2,000 years ago. And Father, I pray as we bring it into our minds this morning and into our moment of learning and exploring Scripture together, that we let Jesus speak to us as this was meant to be some 2,000 years ago, and not let my presentation of this or illustrations of these things get in the way of truly the Spirit speaking into our heart. Now, God, I pray, I go back to that lost person first, who my prayer in the beginning is that they would see that whatever journey they're on in trying to find resolution, and we all are, we can't pretend that we're not. We all have things in our life that we're trying to figure out, get resolved, overcome, give up, whatever it may be. The list is long. So as we're doing that, if we're not a believer, well, then the only alternative is that we're pursuing something that's not of God. And so it all, in my mind, begins with surrendering to Christ, asking God to forgive us of our sins and claiming what Christ did on the cross. And that is to take all of those sins, forgive them, and now begin to take, not over our life, but that's probably more accurate than most other explanations, but now to begin to take charge of our lives. And we learn to trust him and let him guide us through this journey of persistence that sort of umbrellas our faith journey. So I pray this morning, there is not a thing I can do or anyone else can do to lead a person to that point of making that decision. As believers, we've all had to make that decision, but it's a very personal and individual decision that we have to come to terms with, and I believe it's led by the Holy Spirit. So I pray, Holy Spirit, come into these people who aren't believers' lives, if they're here or watching or listening, and lead them to that point to where they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, Father, for the believer, the rest of us, my prayer this morning is that you kind of have opened up the box and allowed us to see where we're struggling in persistence. And we all know what they are. But maybe this morning it's been more about a reminder that maybe we're okay in this area, but in this other area we get impatient or we lose sight or we don't think you have the power to resolve these things. Or maybe it comes back that we're just not really praying desperately. We're praying out of a mechanical, methodical tradition that we've always done and we have our moments, but we're not in that state as we've defined this morning of desperation in our prayer, where we're in a conversation with you pleading for you to guide us in those moments that we most need you, which is probably all of them. But God, help us as believers to understand that and grab hold of that and bring that into our daily walks with you in whatever it is that we face. Now, God, I don't know what other decisions need to be made this morning, but as we go into our time of response, we're going to give it over to your Spirit to guide us. Our altar is open as it always is. But this is our time to respond to you, whether we need to do it publicly or do it privately with you. Whatever that is, I pray now as we do respond to you. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of response?